Beast OCR proudly presents BeastNet Podcast, sponsored in part by GH Under's Performance Based Layers and supported by the OCR community. Here we discuss all things OCR related. Welcome to BeastNet.
Hey everybody, it's Mike with BeastNet here. I've got Jenna Ravenscraft, and we're going to talk about the Beast Report. So, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. So, awesome. I know it hasn't been a long time since we talked before, but what kind of things have you been doing since the last time we talked? I'm trying to remember what we talked about last time.
I think it was right after Dallas, right? Or Tahoe.
I think it was right after Dallas.
Okay, so it was after that second ultra.
Yeah.
I think I had one race after that. I finished my racing season in Sacramento in November. So since then,
how did it go?
A couple weeks off. All right, well, I'm good. Topped out on the podium and was a top female in all age groups for that. So I was pretty pleased.
I would say, I mean, here's the difference between like you and me. You're like, yeah, I topped out, you know, and I was the number one female. I would be like screaming that from the hilltops because, I mean, that would be, it's a huge accomplishment. I mean, you, in age group, you beat everybody.
Yeah, there's right? Kim Cole from Boise. She races in the 40. I think she's 47. I finally met her at Sacramento, but she's been annihilating times for all age group women like all year long, and that was like the first race that she didn't like top out age group for all ages.
Yeah.
And there was me and the girl that was right behind me. We both had clean races in our age group, and we were the two that beat her. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
She's like,
I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
I mean, that's
definitely.
Yeah. I mean, to win your age group is one thing, but I mean, you won all of them.
Yeah, which I wasn't expecting. Like, I definitely was just trying to have a clean race and top my age group because I got a couple seconds earlier this year by missed spear throws on both of them.
Yeah.
And so having a clean race, I mean, if I would have missed the spear throw, the girl was right behind me. She would have beat me too. It would have been another second place. So very thankful.
See, that's the good thing about Spartan and that I've always kind of liked is that, I mean, you got to be able to do all of it, you know, in a sense.
Yep.
Like me and Ryan talked, you know, Ryan Pullen last week, and we were talking about that. I guess it was 2 weeks ago, but we were talking about how there's a few guys out there that, you know, men and women, that pretty much rely on their speed and, you know, try and, you know they can't do certain obstacles and they don't try to get better at them. They just rely on their speed knowing that if they do their 30 burpees, they can still catch the other guys. And it's like,
if you can do burpees in 2.5 minutes or 2 minutes, they won't even attempt it. They won't even try and get better. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't like that. That's one of the things that you talk about, how I like some of these races that are going to the, you know,
mandatory.
Yeah. Mandatory. Yep. Do the obstacle because it makes people be better. You know,
I agree.
Yeah. You can't just say, okay, I'm going to rely on my speed. Oop, I touched the obstacle. I failed. I'm going to go do my burpees and then I'll catch you. You know, you'll pass me on this obstacle, but I'm going to catch you between here and the next one. You know, and that's, I don't like that. You know, I would rather like sit there and waste 45 minutes doing an obstacle over and over again until I got it right, than to just be like, nope, let's go. So
take me back to Terrain Race and Tarzan ropes, and I can definitely fill that one over again.
Oh, that's right. I remember. You did. That took you a while.
Yeah, a while.
You weren't going to get up the band.
Yeah. Rachel was laughing about that. She's like, you realize you can get those bands anywhere, right? I'm like, oh, yeah, but that wasn't the point.
Yeah. And that's not the point. That's one thing that I think, you know, amazes me all the time. You'll see, like, Spartan medals and stuff like that, like, on sale and, like, eBay and stuff. And it's like, who's buying this?
Yeah.
It's like every medal that I have hanging on my wall, I mean, means something to me because I earned it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's blood, like, sweat, and tears there.
Yeah. And I mean, I've got medals going all the way back to 2010, but not for Spartan, but for, you know, normal races and some mud runs. But, you know, I earned every one of those. I went out on that course and I did what I had to finish it. So, yeah, I just couldn't. Yeah, I have to earn them. No, it doesn't seem right.
Exactly. Yep. Each race is different too, so that's the nice thing about it.
Yeah. I know, I'm trying to figure out, I noticed on, which I don't know if you've seen it, but someone pointed out to me, is the Spartan race in April, they've added a trail race.
Yeah, I got that sent to me today too. On Sunday, it looks like there's a trail race. So did they get rid of the sprint, or are they doing a trail race simultaneously?
From what it seems like, is I think they're doing the trail race simultaneously.
Okay, that's kind of what I thought. I didn't really get a chance to look at it. I was, like, too busy at work, but I saw it pop up, and I saw a lot of different people talking about it, so.
Yeah, I mean, I'll have to look to make sure, but I'm almost positive it looked like that it was, like, the sprint was still going that day, but there was this trail race, too. I'm like, that's weird.
And I clicked on it, and it's like a 10K elite or a 10K open race.
Yeah. It's basically, it's a trail race. There's no obstacles. There's nothing. It's just you running. Yeah. It's terrain. Basically, they said that the only obstacle you're going to have is terrain, but they're going to make it so that supposedly it's going to be muddy and all that. I mean, it's Seattle, so of course it'll be muddy.
Yeah,
but
it's Seattle in April, so we all know it's going to be muddy.
Yeah. You don't know how many people I've had to try and convince that did that super in Seattle to come back in September and do the Beast. They're like,
I bet.
They're like, after that sprint, after that super, there's no way I could do a Beast in that. And I'm like, yeah, but you have to understand it's a completely different race in October and September. I'm like, you don't have that muddy, nasty. So, and I know most people got better time, like, on the Beast than they did on the super.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. I didn't make it up there because I had work going on that weekend, but at least the Beast weekend I did, and
Well, I know you were up here for the super weekend because that's why my wife has a dry robe now.
Absolutely. They should really call me up. Dry rope should call me up. I could sell a lot of those at races because at Tahoe when I was volunteering, I probably talked about 50 different people about it. It's the best investment of my life.
The only way all you had to do to convince my wife to get it was basically say, here, hold this for me while I go race.
And that was pretty miserable that weekend. So.
Yeah. And then she was pretty much like, yeah, you need to buy me one of these. I'm like, oh, okay.
yes, honey.
That's
got it.
You got it. Yep.
It's where my merch codes will go to.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it was. It was my merch codes. Luckily, they let us stack them now. So, yeah.
I know. I saw that.
Yeah.
So Dallas's mud this year was as close to Seattle's mud, if not worse.
That's what I heard.
Because
I heard
of that. Because the hurricane that came through, they had that monsoon rain, and it rained for, like, the week straight and just muddied it up. So it was as slick and goopy and muddy as I've seen Seattle. Parking lot, same way.
Jeez. And see, those – I like it, but I don't. I mean, it was brutal in Seattle, you know, in April, but it was different.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? I'll normally do like Vegas, where Vegas is dry and sandy. And then all of a sudden you've got Seattle, which is, you know, mud. And then Montana, which is just hill after hill after hill that's like
heartbreaking hill with beautiful views.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And it doesn't make any sense because it seems like you go uphill and uphill and uphill forever, and then somehow you end up back at the festival and you're like, I don't remember enough downhill. I mean, there was a little bit, but I don't remember that much. So
it felt all uphill to me.
Yeah. And then, you know, so you get that whole different thing there. And then you go over to Hawaii where it's gorgeous, but it's humid and you've still got those big hills, you know. And it's just, that's what I love about the races and traveling, is you get that different feel at each race. You know, they're not all mm-hmm. the same flat down the road, you know, race. So, yeah. And you... I mean, Dallas was muddy and nasty, but you seem to do okay there.
Yeah, it was all right. I think I beat my time by like just under a minute or something like that. So I was hoping for a lot faster, but once that muddy conditions kind of set out, it was definitely warmer, which was nice. That freezing cold at the beginning of the race last year was pretty miserable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was.
But there was actually a guy that ran in the elite that got bit by a copperhead snake.
Oh.
So we saw this snake out on the course, like in the morning on lap one. Wasn't there on lap two, but we were getting ready to finish. Yeah, we were getting close to the end of the second lap, and we actually met the guy. He was circling back looking for his buddy or something like that. He's like, oh yeah, I was in like second place in elites, and I was coming up this hill and I got bit by a snake, and then I had to go see the medics and they had to give me anti-venom. He's like, so I finished fourth. I'm like, wait a minute, you got bit by a poisonous snake, received medical treatment, and still finished fourth? I'm like,
I'm shocked.
Pretty
they
impressive,
don't go
man.
Back
so am I. So am I. I was like, you're nuts, dude. He's like, well, they're not really sure if he bit me or not. There was like a puncture hole, but I'm like, oh my God, nope.
Wow.
I'm out.
Yeah,
I'm out.
That's crazy. I mean, because that's the one thing that, you know, and it sounds bad, but a lot of people worry about is if you get injured, you're afraid to go tell medic because they're going to take you down and you're done.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I'm just surprised that, you know, he got bit by it. It's like, yeah, hey, thanks for the anti-venom. Someone take me back up to the course now.
Yeah, right? And I'm thankful that they did, because that would totally suck. Like, it's different than, I mean, it's not different than breaking something or not being able to finish. I mean, it is what it is, but, you know.
Yeah.
Snake bites you. Yeah, just give me my anti-venom. I know the rules say you're not supposed to help me, and I'm not supposed to seek medical or get anything, but. Come on, man. Freaking snake bit me.
Snake bit me.
So,
wow.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Because I know Montana this year, me and Serena helped a girl that, like, gouged her hand bad. And I usually carry first aid stuff in my pack. And we had stuff, and we bandaged her up, and we're like, cool, you're good, but you're going to need to see medic once, you know, this will help you, but you're going to need to see, you know, medical once you get to the next obstacle. And she's like, if I see medical, they're going to pull me. And I'm like, probably. And then I talked to her after the race. She never stopped. She just kept going. I'm like, okay.
Well, yeah.
Like, I did my part. I told her that she should see medical, but.
Yeah. I mean, that's more of a suggestion than a rule, right?
Yeah.
A guideline and a rule.
Pretty much. It's like, you know, mainly covering my butt. Hey, I told you to see medical. If you didn't see medical, that's your problem. I patched you up enough to get you going.
Yeah, exactly. Your first aid training coming in handy.
Yep. So, yeah. Yeah. So, I guess we should do this beast report. See, this is weird for me because normally, like, Kim does this. And I just, like, sit back and listen to her talk to you guys and, like, do other questions. But she's got some personal stuff going on, so I'm covering the beach report this month. So
don't
be asking real questions, but, yeah, we all know how I am. I don't follow rules.
Yeah, well, you know how it is.
Yeah. I get so many people that are on the podcast, like, okay, is there a structure? And I'm like, no, not really. Like, structure's boring. Let's just go with it. Yeah, I think Elise was the one, first one that's like, okay, so we should do this and ask these. I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, I'm trying to get structure going. I'm like, oh, you're one of them.
One of those.
One of those people. She learned really quickly. I'm not structured in any way. I like it this way because it feels more natural.
It takes out that
conversation, which is what it is. It's just two friends having a conversation. So.
Yeah, it's a lot more authentic this way.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm supposed to ask, let's see, what's this first question? See, and you answered these like written form, but yeah. So, and basically what'll happen is Kim on the first, which is the Sunday or the Saturday before this will come out, she'll like put the Beach Group report out in, you know, written format, and then everyone will get it on Monday from the podcast. So,
oh, that makes sense.
First question.
Some of us aren't good readers, so.
Yeah, I'm not. So that's the fun part. I got to try and read this question off my phone. What was your first OCR race, and what made you decide to try it?
That would be the Boise Sprint, the first year that they had it here. So what is that? 2 years ago. 16, probably, I think.
Yeah.
And I actually got started with it because I did a local 5K. I grew up in Riggins, Idaho. Did a local 5K with my family. My mom and my dad and I went up there. And I was the only one that was really running the 5K. Like, everyone else was, like, pushing strollers and walking with their kids. You know, it's a fun run. And so I won this 5K. By no means was it fast or anything. I just happened to run the entire thing. And so one of my friends was like, oh, you should do a 10K or a half. And I'm like, that's stupid. Why would you ever want to do something that takes just running longer than a half an hour? Like, that's just boring. Like, oh, well, we should do some sort of mud run or obstacle or inflatable race or something like that. And then the Boise race was set up to come here. And I was like, oh, hey, we should try this. Oh, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. And then we signed up with, there's like six of us that race together, and it was all of our first races, so it was quite the experience. And that's pretty much how it started, which is nice.
And it's just what I love about like talking to the Beast about stuff like this is it really seems like that's how most people started. They did something, and then all their friends are like, hey, let's go do this, and they just kind of and then all of a sudden the bug bit you. And you're like, okay, I really liked it. Yeah.
Yep.
Because that was me. I did, you know, half marathons and all that kind of stuff for years, and then I blew my knee. And then when I came back and tried running again, I ended up starting to do the OCRs because a half marathon, you know, at that point I was running about 2.5 to 3 hour half marathons. And that much, like, time running was boring. You got bored after a couple minutes. It's like, okay, I've been doing this for a while now. Is this thing over yet? Where's the end of this thing? And that kind of, you know, and that's why I got into the obstacle course, because now I had something to break up that monotony of running. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like there's so many of us that's like the exact reason how we kind of got sucked in and started it. Just to break that running up.
Yeah, and now I've... Now, you know, with my foot injury, I just wish I could run again. So, but soon, I've got to figure it out because my buddy signed me up for at least one marathon next year and maybe a second one. I'm like, you're trying.
Oh, all right.
So.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. At least the one is all downhill, like literally all downhill. But I'm like, okay, my knee's not going to like that, but I should be able to keep up better. But... Yeah, it's 26 miles from the top of Snoqualmie Pass down to North Bend.
So, all right.
Yeah, so, and I'm glad he paid for it. I mean, I pay him back, but he was like, because I was like, oh, I'll get it, you know, next week I'll sign up for it. And he's like, I think it's going to sell out. And he ended up buying ours, and then, like, within an hour after that, they were sold out. It sold out, like,
the
day
he did.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, wow. So... I guess the really popular one, you get to run through a tunnel. So,
Ooh, a tunnel.
That's some railroad tunnel that's like 2 or 3 miles long or something.
So you have to have a headlamp.
Yeah. I run sports.
Nice.
I've got like 5 of those.
I was going to say, because we all don't have a plethora of headlamps.
Yeah. What's funny, though, is the one time in a Spartan race I needed it, it was in the wrong pack.
Oh, brutal.
We were in Hawaii, and it was like, okay, I need my – I'm like, oh, I got my headlamp. And I start digging through my pack, and I'm like, I can't find it. I know I threw it in here. And then after we finished the race, I got back to the hotel, and I opened up my other pack that was sitting on the couch next to it, and there it is. I'm like, oh, when I threw it into the pack, I threw it into the wrong pack. Nice. So.
You're like, awesome.
Yeah, so now I usually have – I have one that's attached to my bigger pack. A flashlight, but it's like a headlamp, but one that you can clip on the other stuff that's attached to one of my packs. And then I have another one that's in my other pack. So I have one in both packs. It just sits there. They're always there. So I always have one, hopefully.
Yeah. And that's how we learn right there.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, so here, let's see. What's the next question here? How has OCR helped you overcome challenges?
That would probably be, I did endurance races last year, so I finished.
Yeah.
I did a 12 and ultra, a couple of HHs. But I think that 12 hour when you're out in the middle of the night, it's 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, and it's dark, and you're on this mountainside, you're tired and grumpy and cold and wet. You learn a lot about yourself. And I think like that one experience was pretty much kind of like a soul shifter for me, like a mentality shifter. Like it took several weeks for me to kind of digest exactly what all was acquired from that.
I could definitely see that. I mean, that's what I heard. I've only done the normal hurricane heats. I've never done the 12s, but you know, some of those other endurance events that, you know, I've heard about. But I can only imagine that the way they change is that you think about things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, how did that one, do you think, that the 12-hour and some of those other endurance events really change how you did things, you think?
It reset what I thought, like, your breaking, like, my own personal breaking point was.
Yeah.
Like, and it's kind of like, I use this examples all the time with, like, my college basketball players. It's like, they look exhausted, they look tired, you know, they're bent over, trying to get oxygen, they're trying to breathe after running lines. And it's like, you know, your mind is going to quit way before your body's going to. And it's one of those things, like, until you're put in that situation where you're either forced to get past it or you're forced to succumb to it, you just don't know it until you're at that point. And I think, like, at points in that night, like, I got to that point where it was just like, why are you doing this? Like, you should just quit. Where it was like, no, that's not right. It's not what you do. But I think it just was a good reset for me. Like, and I've noticed that, like, now, especially with, like, how I go about things, how I do my businesses and how I talk to other people, how I coach other people, it really shifted it.
That's awesome. It's just one thing that I've, you know, like I said, I haven't been the Hurricane 12 out. Throughout any of those, but I have been out on course for a lot longer than I should have been. I mean, I've been, the longest I took on a Spartan was 13 and a half hours, and I thought I was going to die. But you hit that part in your brain where your brain's like, this is stupid. You're done. You just need to sit down and wait for someone to come up that can take you back to camp. You know, sit down and, like, wave your arm at one of the volunteers and be like, hey, I'm done. Have someone come get me.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes something special in your brain to be like, yeah, That's what you probably should do. But you're not going to. You're going to keep moving forward and keep going until you finish this. You started it, you're going to finish it. And I think that's what makes, like, a lot of us OCR racers and beasts and all that stuff different, is we have that part of our brain that basically says, yeah, you should quit. You probably really should, but you're not going to. You're just going to keep going because you started that.
Yeah. Yep. It goes back to, yeah, getting outside of your comfort zone. And, you know, everyone loves to live in that comfort zone. You know, it's yes, easy. It's going through day-to-day operations with, you know, no worry, no thought, no hard work. So.
But, yeah, but you live in that comfort zone too long, and you end up like me, and you're overweight and not where you should be. And now it's time to – now I'm not comfortable because I sat in my comfort zone too long. So now it's time to get out of my comfort zone and fix that problem. So, yeah. So definitely.
And it's knowing that. I mean, how many people don't know that?
Yeah.
Or would admit to it. They're just like, whatever. This is how life is. So.
Yeah, this is how life is. Or, oh, it's because I broke my foot. Or, oh, it's because I had this injury. Or whatever. And it's like, well, yeah, I did break my foot. And, yeah, I did have an injury in Montana last year and the year before. And I'm like, but I broke my foot and I chose to react to it wrong and let myself get bigger. And then I got injured in Montana because I was bigger. And all of my decisions have snowballed into the fact that now I'm probably the biggest I've ever been. And that is my fault. And the only person who can fix it is me. And that's kind of my, you know, that's getting out of your comfort zone, you know, is realizing that I've made these mistakes and the only person that can fix it is me. So, yeah, it's a tough one, though. It's a tough pill to swallow sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very humbling.
It is, and I think I see so much in, you know, social media and just talking to a lot of people. People are so quick to blame everyone else and everything else. This happened to me, this blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yes, you can't always decide what happens to you, but you can decide how to react to it. And that's usually where the positive or negative of a situation happens. It's not necessarily what happened to you, it's how you reacted to it. I mean, there's obvious situations that are obviously negative, but if you react to them in a certain way, you can turn them into a positive. And that's, I think, where the human nature and where a lot of people make mistakes. It's like, oh, this happened to me. It is what it is. Oh, well. You know?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You've got to pretty much turn that around and be like, you know, this happened to me. It sucks. But it's my decision that this isn't going to define me, and I'm going to fix this, and I'm going to move forward. You know, and that's just something you got to decide to do. So, yay.
Very much agreed.
Let's see. There's a bunch of questions here. Holy cow. let's see. Well, the next question is, what do you love most about the OCR community?
Oh, probably the outside shenanigans that occurs at every race. You know,
yeah.
There's so much to love and appreciate and be thankful for, but it's all those outside things that you just don't get. Racing weekends are the best weekends ever.
Yes, they are. Well, and that's comes to another thing I always think about when I do races. It's like you do the race and I'll be honest, I don't normally remember a whole lot about what happened during the race. I remember more about what happened after, before. You know, if I remember what happened during the race, it's because I remember something of the people I was with. It's the shenanigans. It's the fun. You know, if I wasn't doing these with friends and hanging out with friends, there'd be no reason for me to go do these. You know?
Right.
It's all about the people. So
true. Yeah.
Cause what Who were you with? You were with a bunch of people in Dallas, weren't you?
Jess from Boise and I flew down. Rachel and Tony were down there from up that area, up your guys' area.
That's Rachel. Left, right?
Yep. Look.
Yep.
Yeah.
She's crazy.
And then there's a bunch of other beasts down there too, but those are the ones that we're in the same location, same hotel. Travel partners, anyways. Yeah.
See, that's what's the fun. Like I said, it's the travel partners. I have certain people that I usually travel with and, you know, or don't normally, race with. You know, the one race that I normally don't have anyone with is Vegas. But then normally I'll end up hooking up with the Warrior State of Mind and running with them.
Yep.
So, you know, so it's, there's so many people, you know, in Hawaii, we ended up with the Hawaii OCR or Spartan Ohana. And now
yeah.
They're like a sister group to the Beast, and they're great. I mean, we ended up hanging out with them. I mean, we ended up not racing because of stupid lane. But,
right.
But, you know, we ended up meeting a whole bunch of people over there that were part of that group and making a lot of friends. The one guy over there, Richard, he ended up, I've got a t-shirt for Hawaii that it's the Hawaii, you know, venue shirt. But then he bought a bunch of them and then had them printed with canceled due to Hurricane Lane across the front. So we all ended up buying these shirts that he had basically, yeah, the venue shirt, but it says canceled due to Hurricane Lane across the front. So it's like, that's awesome. So that is the community is amazing.
Yes, absolutely. Agreed.
And it's not just, you know, not just the Beast. I mean, the Beast is an amazing community. Don't get me wrong. I know we're both wet, like state
countries
or something, but so we have to be, you know, politically correct. But no.
Yeah, but technically we're with Warrior State of Mind, we're with Colorado, and I mean, we're all friends.
And see, that's what's cool for me for like Warrior State of Mind. I kind of knew Matt and a few of the others from Warrior State of Mind, but really didn't know him that well. Until 2 years ago, I did the sprint in Vegas with Matt and a bunch of people from Warrior State of Mind, and we carried the Colorado flag.
Yeah.
Because it was right after that, the three Colorado racers that got hurt that were in the car accident. And we carried the flag, and that was the coolest experience. You know, just.
And hey, I was at that race, too.
Yeah. It's like, we're going to do this for them. And then we finished. And then once we finished, we like went up to the announcer and he basically did a tally for them with us, like still holding the flag as soon as we finished. I'm like, one, at first I was like, I really hate you, Matt, for this, but it was so cool just to see how everyone banded together. And like, all of a sudden you look around and like everybody in the festival was doing Sally and remember, and you know, for these fallen Spartans. So, I mean, it was awesome. So, yeah. So, before we go to the next question, I'm going to, like, go to break and do a commercial real quick. Cause if I don't do the commercial, Adam gets all cranky. So, we're going to go to break. We'll be right back with another question.
Perfect.
Grays Harbor Unders makes the performance-based layer clothing you want and need. Whether you work, hunt, hike, fish, run, or ride in the great outdoors, if you work up a sweat, Grays Harbor Unders are for you because their unique dual-layer fabric removes moisture from your body and keeps your skin dry, even when the outer layer is completely wet. It's a base layer like no other. Get you some at ghunders.com. That's ghunders.com for the best performance-based layer you'll ever wear.
All right, we're back from break. So we've talked about a lot of things with OCR, and I know some of this we may have talked about the last time you were on, but it's still, like I said, so much fun to talk to you and, like, hear all this stuff. So let's see. What's the next question Kim has here? She asks a lot of questions.
I know.
I love Kim. I miss her. So she'll definitely be on the next month of BeastNet. I think I got to check with her to make sure, but I think I'm the one on the next one of BeastNet. So the first episode for the Beast Report, the first episode for 2019 is going to be me doing the Beast Report with Kim. It'll be quite interesting. So, yeah.
So good.
Oh yeah. You don't want to know more about me. No one does. It's not good. I keep telling everyone all the time. They'll be like, "Oh, thank you. You're such a nice guy." I'm like, "Don't tell anyone. It's going to ruin my street cred." But
I know.
Too many people think I'm a nice guy. I'm like, "Oh, I'm really not that nice of a guy." But it's just, yeah. Yeah, you know how it is.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see. Next question. Who inspires you?
Oh, I probably, did I put my dad? Can't even remember when I answered these questions. I didn't?
I know who you put. I've got the question in front of me, but.
Oh, perfect. I'm just going to make people read it then. It's even better that way.
I'm not going to tell you what you wrote.
Nah, I think I like that better. Go for it.
Or do you just want to leave it and make them read it?
I kind of just want to make them read it if they really want the answer that I wrote.
Okay. All right.
So I think a lot of people inspire me.
Yeah.
Might have been my grandpa.
Yeah.
I would say for this podcast on BSET, I would say, just because we just got done and my dad just turned 70 and he finished his trifecta, his first trifecta, that he'd be the guy right now.
One of these days I want to meet your dad. I've not been able to meet him yet.
Oh, he'll definitely be around. He's already looking, talking about new gear for next year and trying to organize his race schedule to align with mine. So,
see, I think that's
Do.
We need to get your dad, John, right? That's his name? We need to get John on.
Yeah.
So I think he'd be...
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he'd do it.
70 years old and just finished his trifecta. That's...
Yeah. I raced as fast as I did in Sacramento. I was trying to get back to him because we started. That's the first time I've started without him. He's like, let's do age. I want to do age group. I'm like, well, you know, I can't start with you then. I have like an earlier start time. He's like, yeah, just run your race. I'll be fine. And I'm like, okay, I guess. So
yeah.
I finished and then turned around and went back to get him. So
that's awesome.
It was pretty cool.
I'm just hoping at 70, I can still get out of bed. I mean,
right?
Yeah. That's crazy.
He was talking about something about being like 90 or living to 90 or 100. And I looked at him, I'm like, I don't think I'll live that long because I'm probably not going to be able to walk by the time I'm that age. And he just laughed. I was like,
I'm hoping that I'm going to live long enough that they're going to get to a point that it can like replace the joints in my body that are already destroyed. So.
Yeah, with quality joint replacement.
Yeah, not like my dad's. My dad had his knee replaced like 20-something years ago, and it wasn't a quality replacement. I want a replacement that, you know, is better than what I was born with. So basically,
yeah.
I want to be the $6 million man. So, I mean, that's where I'm at.
Exactly. I get it.
I'm hoping for that. So that's going to be our goal, is we got to get your dad on the podcast. So that'll be a fun one. So
I think I can hook that up for sure. I'll tell him.
Right. All right. What's the next? Oh, the next question here. What do we got? What is your favorite OCR memory?
There's so many, because now it just got replaced. I'd definitely have to see Sacramento's, this last Sacramento race. Just being able to top that podium. And then at the same time, being able to watch my dad finish his trifecta. And to pretty much, you know, he did that on his own. So that's replaced all other memories at this point.
And that's what's awesome about doing this kind of stuff is your greatest memory changes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because
your accomplishments. Yep.
yeah, you're going to do something new, you know, and do some other great accomplishment, you know, and it's awesome, you know, that you can do that. I mean, I've had so many great memories, and then all of a sudden I'll go to a race and have an even better one. I'm like, oh, so yeah, that is awesome. So, what's next? Oh, tell us something about yourself few people know, whether OCR related or not.
Ooh, let's see. I am afraid of heights.
Really?
Super afraid of heights. And birds freak me out. I'm not going to lie. Birds are dirty.
Birds are and creepy.
If you've ever watched that Alfred Hitchcock movie, Birds? I don't know if you've seen it. Yeah. They just... So birds and heights, man. No bueno.
But birds do creep me out. And people have always made fun of me for that. Part of it, I think it is, like you said, the movie Birds. But then I've also...
Yeah.
I grew up, and this sounds weird, but I grew up reading Stephen King. I read my first Stephen King book when I was, I think, in fourth grade. So don't judge me, but my grandma gave it to me. But
I'm impressed, man. That's pretty advanced for a fourth grader.
Yeah, I was – we didn't really have TV.
I'm not a good reader.
Reading was my thing. We didn't really have a TV because I broke it. And then my mom was like, well, we're not getting another one. So it was pretty much read or go play. And I did both. So I ended up – I watched horror movies a lot with my grandmother from the time I was like five. Cause she was all into horror movies. So when I was about four or in fourth grade or so, she decided that I finished a book when I was over at her house. And she handed me Cujo and said, here, read this. I'm like, okay. So, yeah. So that was really my first one. But in a lot of Stephen King books, the birds are like the evil person.
Yep.
Like transforms into birds. So birds were always evil, and birds have always bothered me. So, yeah, I get the bird thing.
Okay, I'm glad I'm not the only one.
See, yeah. See, my weird one is I don't like E.T. Like, I've never
–
E.T. creeps me out. Like, I've never seen the movie completely. I've never – yeah, it's creepy. Like, E.T. came out when I was, like, three or four. And my mom took me to go see it. And she said there's some part where he, like, runs through the bushes screaming like a banshee or something. And it freaked me out. I climbed under the seat and wouldn't come out. And
you're scared of that movie, but you watched the other Stephen King one.
Oh, I have no problem with those. But for whatever reason,
okay.
I like even to this day, like I can't stand the sight of E.T. I can't, yeah. Nope, E.T.'s wrong. I will not watch it. I've never seen it. I've had friends threaten to like Clockwork Orange me and like tie me down to a chair and pry my
eyes. Oh, that's just brutal.
I have to watch it, but yeah. Yeah, no, it's a horrible movie. I won't watch E.T. Nope.
All right.
Yeah. 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 Which, that's the most people go to. They're like, you've watched pretty much every horror movie, and you love them. You read horror books. You love Stephen King, Clive Barker, all of those, but you won't watch E.T. And I'm like, yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
You're like, yep.
I have no shame in that. E.T. creeps me out. So, yeah. So, but your thing about birds, I completely get it. I mean, not only are they creepy, but they're dirty.
Yeah, that's my thing. They're dirty and they're unpredictable.
Yeah. Wow. I don't know if you could hear that, but my wife's over in the kitchen now doing... Whippets out of the Ready Whip.
Okay. I thought that was a whippet. I was like, man, that sounds just like whipped cream.
Yeah. Yep.
Did she take it straight into her mouth, or did she put it in something first?
Nope, straight into her mouth.
Straight whippet style. I'm impressed.
Yep, I'm kind of jealous at the moment, but.
I have pumpkin spice flavored whipped cream in my fridge.
Yeah. Well, I don't like pumpkin spice like anything. So, yeah, no, yeah.
No basic white girl for you.
No, no basic white girl for me. So, no, yuck, yuck. Let's see, what's the, oh, this, I think we're the last question almost.
Oh, wow.
It says, what are your goals for 2018? But since 2018, there's less than a month left. What are your goals for 2019?
That's what I'm trying to figure out right now. On what races I'm actually going to do. I'm in the preliminary stages of schedules. I want to try and do other races besides, well, the majority of my races are Spartan. I mean, I did a terrain race last year, and I did a couple 5Ks and things like that. But I'm signed up to do Hood to Coast, which is going to be cool.
Now, how far is that one?
Did another terrain race. It's several miles, but there's like 8 runners. I think there's 8 runners.
Okay.
Run like 3 legs or 4 legs or something like that. So you run like in between,
like
I want to say. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's another one on the list. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to get to, I've thought about the Ragnar and those kind of relay race ones, but I need to fix my personal physical issues because it's, I've never wanted to be that guy that's going to slow everyone down, you know? And so I need to get that all fixed before I really commit to one of those. So, yeah.
Yeah. That's, I think what worries me about Hood to Coast is I'm not the fastest, like all out runner. So, but we're not in like the competitive division and we're in a mixed division, but we have some pretty decently fast runners in it. So we'll see. But I want to do a Ragnar. I'm going to do a terrain race and actually going to go down to San Jose and do a terrain race. I'd like to get out east and do a Savage race maybe this year. I want to try another trifecta weekend.
Yeah.
Just kind of try and mix it up.
I want to do the Savage race. I want to do some of those. Some of the races that we don't get out here, and that's kind of the thing that I hate is there's a bunch of races that we don't get on the West Coast. You know?
Yep.
So there's a bunch that we used to get that are gone. Like Rugged Maniac, we don't get up here in Seattle anymore. They're not coming back next year. They didn't come this year. They're not coming back next year.
And I've never done a Warrior Dash or a Rugged Maniac.
So. See, Rugged Maniac and Warrior Dash are kind of like starter ones. The Warrior Dash this year, surprisingly, I mean, normally Warrior Dash has been, I mean, typically an easier race. Do you know what I mean? It's like mm-hmm. a really easy one normally. And this year, all of a sudden, they decided that they were going to, they moved it to a different location, you know. And when you got there, it was really deceiving. It looked really flat. And then when you started, all of a sudden, you went across the street. And for the first mile, it was almost straight uphill. So you didn't,
yeah,
like what you could see was pretty much like the end of the race. The whole flat part was the end of the race. The whole race was actually on the other side of the street where you couldn't see that it was almost straight uphill for a mile. And then you started hitting obstacles, but then it was still uphill and a really hilly race. And I was impressed because that's been one of my biggest complaints about races in the Northwest. We always get these flat courses and it's like, there's mountains everywhere. How do we get these flat courses? And then, of course, we get some really good hilly ones, and I'm like, why did I open my mouth?
Right?
It's a flat. Yeah. But, yeah, I think we need more out here, but I don't know why we just can't get them. So, but...
And there's a ton of racers out here, so I don't understand that same thing. Like, why?
Well, I think,
why are they going away from it?
I don't know, because I know some of them have tried and really haven't done that well. I know Gladiator tried coming in, what, last year? And couldn't sell enough races. But they didn't really seem to advertise as well as they should have. But Gladiator is the first OCR I ever did back in, like, 2011.
So, okay.
So they were supposed to come back last year, but then they didn't fill enough races and ended up, nope, we're not coming. Like, oh, great. But then I've done, like, Survivor up here was okay the first couple of years, and then they moved to a new location where it was just, it was horrible. I mean, it was, for what they were charging, it's like, it's not challenging. It was, and some of the obstacles, it's like, it's not really challenging, and someone's going to get hurt on a few of them.
Yeah.
And then there was a couple others. I mean, what was one of the Mud Factor? I finished Mud Factor 4 years ago in 30 minutes.
Oh, dang.
This is me we're talking about. I finished it in 30 minutes. So, I mean,
good
I'm not
times,
trying
though.
To really say anything bad about myself, but, I mean, anybody take that any way you want, but I finished it in 30 minutes. So, I mean, my fastest 5K when I was at my peak, you know, like 10 years ago was 28 minutes. So, try and figure, you know, one with obstacles I did in 30.
Obstacles. Yeah.
So, there was something wrong there.
You're not even earning a beer in that one.
No. No, and it was one of those ones that was so funny because they had, like, the spectator area that you had to pay to get into. It was like $10, and there was like two things in there. You could basically go to the food cart, but if you just didn't pay the $10, you could go over to the bench and sit down and watch.
Oh, I'd just go to the bench then.
Yeah, I'm like, this is dumb. Yeah. So, there's been some that, you know, I've tried to, but I think a lot of it is too. Is I mean, it sounds bad, but the ones we've had is Spartan. So if it's not like a Spartan, most of us are like, eh.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have Spartan and we have Tough Mudder seems to be the ones that do good up here. One of these days, I do need to do a Tough Mudder. You know, my one friend, that Dawn, who's convinced me that I'm doing this marathon, which I said I'd never do another one, and now he's talking about possibly two. But he's trying to get me to do the Tough Mudder this year, and it's like the same weekend, I think, as Warrior. So it's like I think we might be doing Warrior on Saturday and then do Tough Mudder the next day. Oh, yeah.
It's the electrocution and Tough Mudder.
That's my problem.
I can't wrap my mind around it. I can't do it.
I can't either. And the problem that everyone keeps telling me, like, you know you can walk around it. And I'm like, I know you can't.
I can't in my head, though.
But I can't. I have to do it. It's like, I'm the same as you. If my brain's telling me you should not do this, I'm like, well, then I'm going to do it. You know, I need to.
Yeah.
Because now it's a fear I need to overcome. And that's kind of my biggest thing with that is the electrocution. I just, you know, I don't like being cold. I don't like the ice water, but I'll deal with that. I've dealt with that at Spartan races, you know, everything else, but yeah.
Yep.
And I know I got a couple
but
of friends.
It's
I mean,
the shocking me part. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've got a few people that have been trying to talk me into triathlon, which I'm looking at possibly doing one of those in June. But,
yep, that's on my kind of list too.
But, and I'm trying to convince my friend Don to do it with me because it would actually be the weekend before the marathon. But he's like, well, I can't swim. And I'm like, neither can I. So what's the problem? I mean, I can swim really strong for like 50 feet. And that's
well, hopefully the swim
is
only 50 feet.
Yeah, it's a lot longer. It's a quarter mile, but it's...
Oh, that's it? It's a piece of cake.
Yeah, I'm doing the sprint first. I want to try and do the sprint. I mean, I'm not too worried about the run or the bike. I'm okay with those. I've just...
Yeah.
The swim bothers me, but that's one of the things I've been trying to do is go to the gym and, you know, swim to, you know, try and get up to that. I'm trying to make Amber go with me because Amber actually swam in high school. Because I'm just, like I said, I'm a strong swimmer for about 50 feet. Part of my problem is I'm not, and I don't know why, but there's a disconnect between my arms and my legs. It's one or the other. Either I'm using my legs when I swim or I'm using my arms. If not, it's like if you watch me swim with my arms, my legs are just drugged behind me like dead weight.
Not very efficient.
No, it's one or the other, and I'm for whatever reason my brain can't, do them both at the same time. I've just never been able to. Yeah. So that's my goal for next year. I need to figure that one out, because I want to do one. It's on my bucket list. I need to check it off. So see, you should do one. You could probably swim better than me.
I started a new job this year, and a couple of my coworkers are big bikers, and so they have like a lot of road bikes. Like, oh yeah, if you need a bike, you can totally use one of ours. I'm like, thanks.
See, your excuses are getting less and less. You're probably better swimming than me.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, oh yeah, and they kind of kept track of me all year. Like, they knew every race weekend that I raced. They always asked me when I got back. Like, they wanted full details. So, and they've done a couple of themselves.
See, you got to get them doing a Spartan with you, or, you know, an OCR, and then you can go do a triathlon
with
them and bike.
Absolutely. They've done a couple.
I'm going to do the sprint just to get the, if I can do the sprint and I'm okay, then I might try doing a bigger one. I mean, I'm not going to go crazy like Zane and them and do like a full freaking Ironman or whatever he did. Lunatic.
They did a half. See, I was looking at the half Ironman.
I'm not even too bad. Like I said, I'm doing the sprint. It's like a quarter mile swim. I think it's like 12 mile bike ride and like a 5K.
All right.
So it's like a baby triathlon. So it's kind of like, you know, it's the starter. If I can get by on that one, I'll be like, okay, maybe I'll start training for a better one. You know, it's like doing a half marathon. You know, you want to just kind of work your way into it. You don't want to just like get up one morning and be like, cool, let's go do this. Like,
let's send it.
Just send it. Just do it. Yeah.
Just and send it. Let's sign up for a full.
That's part of my issue, though, is I don't know when to say no to stuff. Like, when I did the last marathon, I'm like, I said I'd do it before I'm 40. I'm doing it before I'm 40. And everyone's like, you're really probably not in the right shape to do this. And I'm like, yeah, you're probably right, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Don't tell me no.
Don't tell me no. Now I'm going to definitely do it. So, you know. But then, you know, you end up doing a marathon in 9.5 hours. But, yeah. So I'm definitely want to improve on that. 9.5 hours seems a little excessive.
It might be a little on the long side.
Yeah. Hey, I wasn't last. I passed that person with like 100 feet to go.
Hey, that's important.
Yeah. But in her defense, that was her, like, fourth one in 3 days, so or 4 days or something, because it was insane. But
wow. That sounds awful.
It sounds like this crazy thing that people do called the Quadzilla. And it's for...
Oh, is that kind of like doing an ultrafecta in a weekend? That was stupid.
Yeah, it's 4 marathons in 4 days. And that was, like, this lady, like, this was the last one in her quadfecta, or the Quadzilla. So it was like when I passed her, because I stopped and talked to her for a minute and I asked her, I'm like, do you want to just finish together? And she's like, no, you go ahead. You know, this is like my fourth one in 4 days. I'm like, oh, I feel really bad now. I'm out of here. So, but.
Sounds awful. No. And I would hate to see my feet after that.
Yeah. Oh, I would too. Because that just sounds.
Or.
Yeah. But people do. I mean, that's kind of what we do, though, it seems like. I mean, we find the next great challenge. It's like, you know, when I started doing OCRs, I did, you know, like I said, I did the Gladiator, and then I did the Survivor and the Mud Factor and Hell Run and all these other ones. And then I'm like, well, what's the next big one? Oh, Spartan. Let's do that one. And then it just, you know, you keep finding the next... You know, once you do the Spartan, you do a sprint, and then you're like, okay, let's do a super. Or you're like me and you do a beast first because you're crazy. But you're always trying to find that next, you know. And for me, the next one's the Hawaii Trifecta weekend. I've got to finish that. So, and this year I'm doing it. I'm getting that 3 in a weekend.
Yes. Do it.
Yeah. I'm getting it. So I've been close. Like I said, the first year, I got the one because, well, my foot was in a boot. Second year, I got two. The third year, I got none because it's stupid lane. So this is my fourth year.
Stupid lane.
Yeah, this is my fourth year in a row going to Hawaii, trying to get this trifecta weekend.
It's going to happen this year. I feel it.
I hope so. Oh, but I need to step up on the training. So, and that's my own mental thing to get through. So it sounds like you're still trying to put together 2019. So you should really come to Hawaii with us. You would love it. But
I'm already back in school. That's the bad thing. Because it's just August.
School starts that early?
For us, it does. Yeah. We go back like, I know I have fall sports are started by then, and I probably am hosting something that first weekend.
Yeah.
But I'm signed up to do Breck. I'm going to go do the Ultra and Breck on the 17th. So August is a busy month because I forget what we have the first weekend, but I know I've got Portland's Sprint, Hood to Coast, Yeah, Portland Sprint, then Breck, then Hood to Coast. So back-to-back-to-back weekends.
Yeah.
And then I'm back in school, of course.
I think I got Portland Sprint, and then I think there's an empty weekend with nothing.
Yeah, I think Hood to Coast is the same as
Hawaii.
As Hawaii or the week before. I couldn't remember.
I'm trying to remember. I think it actually might end up being the weekend after. No.
I was going to say, I think it's the last weekend in August is Hawaii, right?
No, they moved it up. It's like the second, 17th. Third.
Yeah, so then it's the same as Hood to Coast.
Yeah. So
it's the 23rd, 24th, 25th.
What is? Oh. Yeah.
Hawaii.
It'll be good, though.
Yeah, it looks
17th.
Fun. It was on my list. It's what?
It ends up being 17th because it's on my anniversary.
Okay, yeah. So that's, I'm in Breck. Breckenridge
that
same weekend.
I think it's right. So I think it is the weekend right after.
It's right after Portland. Yep.
Yeah, because what's actually going to be interesting is we're going to do Portland on Saturday, and then Monday we're flying out.
Yep.
Yeah, and then we'll be there a week, and then or for 5 days, then I'll race, and then we're there for another 5 days. We're actually doing a full, like, Monday to Thursday this time. So
all right.
Like 2 weeks.
That's a lot of my ties.
Yeah, so that is a lot of my ties, so. Yeah. Let's hope there's not another hurricane in a hurricane glass during a hurricane. So, no
oh,
hurricane.
God. How can that happen twice? Like, really?
I hope not. I hope not. Because what's funny is they're like, this is the first time it's happened because there were so many people like, why would they schedule this during hurricane season? It's like, this is the first time a hurricane has touched in Hawaii in like 20 years.
Yeah.
It just happens to be the weekend of the Spartan race. So, yeah. But my trifecta that weekend was the hurricane in a hurricane glass during a hurricane. So that was.
Hey, that is. I've done New Orleans and tangled with the hurricane in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And that's a whole new level.
Well, and that's the thing.
Whole new endurance event.
Yeah, because our honeymoon or our wedding anniversary is in August. So usually when we do our vacations, it's around our anniversary. So there's been, I think, three, maybe four vacations that if we would have, like, listened to the hurricane warnings, we would have completely missed out. Like, one of our Florida trips, there was a hurricane that hit, like, we landed the day after the hurricane. And, like, the cruise that we're on, we ended up having to, like, change the schedule because one of the islands had been hit by a hurricane. But it's like, whatever. You know. So.
YOLO.
Yep, pretty much. So you go during that time and nobody else wants to go. So choosing things are cheaper. So.
Well, yeah.
Oh, so I don't know. We've been talking a bit, and we've kind of gone off the from the beach report, which was fun. But we're going off on. See, like I said, no structure. It's just two friends having fun and talking, which is so much fun to me. I love that because you end up with these weird conversations about Hawaii and So that's where you get that fun.
Hurricanes
and Mai Tais and now I'm thirsty. But all right. So it's been fun talking to you as usual. I can't wait to see you again. So I think the first race that we're doing together is Seattle, right?
Yeah. I'll be up for Seattle. I haven't signed up yet, but
I haven't either.
But there's no way I can miss that weekend.
No, you got to be up there with us for this weekend.
So, yep.
Perfect. All right. Well, it's been fun. We'll have to talk soon, and our new goal is to get your dad on here, so that'll be soon. So.
All right.
Perfect.
All right. I'll definitely talk to him.
All right. Thanks, Jenna.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the BeastNet podcast, brought to you by Beast OCR. Don't forget to subscribe and let us know what you think and what you'd like to hear. You can find us on Facebook or at beastocr.com.